there is no changing of God's expectation for how we should live. Because God's got the power, and that's where the blessing is, and we're able to do it. That's encouraging. You know, a lot of Christians are wringing their hands right now with the moral revolution and all the things that are going on. I mean, our culture has just fallen apart, and we think, how can we make it? Well, you wouldn't have wanted to see what Rome and the Grecian culture was like. I can't even talk about it. It was horrible. And if you were to go around the world right now, most cultures are horrible, and you couldn't even believe it. We're just so used to a culture that's had some underpinnings of Judeo-Christian values. But we must understand that the world has always been in opposition to God, and that His truth is real, and that He is, because of what Christ has done on the cross, He will enable us, if we know Him, to be able to live right. And so that was really the emphasis here of Titus. And verse 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And then he goes into practical realities. I think that's so interesting. You would have thought he was going to give a dissertation on doctrine here, but he gives a dissertation on what should come out of sound doctrine. And, you know, you can say you believe something, but how you live shows whether you believe it or not. I mean, you've heard many illustrations of that, but it is very true. If you really believe it, it demands change, because faith then will cause transformation to occur. And chapter 2, the aged women, how they are to teach and what they're to teach the younger women. We've been looking at the whole matter. It's all couched with the idea of the behavior that becometh holiness, godly living, the control of the tongue, not escaping through any kind of artificial means, being teachers of good things, and then the matter of thinking right. And we've looked for the last several times at the matter of the family. Now, this is one more lesson on this. I'm going through the whole book. I know for most of you here, you don't have children, smaller children in the home. But I'm going to go ahead and teach this regardless, because it is important to be able to encourage younger women to continue on believing God and developing their children. And it's always good for us to realize where we needed to have looked to the Lord more. We don't need to be all in despair about it. But if we'll agree with God, God will give us power to be able to pray for our adult children and to be able to have influence upon our grandchildren and have an impact there. I've seen many a grandparent who've come to the Lord and really understood, maybe a little bit later than child-rearing years, what they should have done, and are able to be a great blessing in counsel and prayer for their to adult children, and then to have a real impact, because grandparents have a real impact on children. And there's also the fact that we all have children around us, and you can't walk out in the hallway without a kid being somewhere, you know, and we all affect children. I think of Henrietta Mears, who worked with children there in California for years, and out of her children's ministry came many evangelical leaders of the last century. And she just believed in shaping children's lives by the word of God, and she wasn't their mother. She was someone that wanted to have an influence upon the children. So all of us have influence, our lives, our demeanor, our sense of care. So I say all of that because I don't want you to tune out if you say, well, I'm past those years. Or, you know, we have a tendency to block things that are painful to us. Oh, I wish I had done that. You know, well, that's not a good way to live. Embrace everything. Embrace the truth, and God will just free you. And it's amazing how when we truly embrace truth, that God can use us then to be a blessing supernaturally in situations and with our own family. And so I say all of that because obviously I'm always ministering to people that have been saved either later in life or didn't have teaching early on or weren't right with God early on. And you know, if only I could. But God is the God of eternity. And yesterday, today, and forever, He is the same. And He can make up for what we did not do and able to work. And when we agree with Him, that's a powerful thing. One of the worst things to do is to compromise your ideals based upon your bad experience. You don't be afraid of agreeing with God, even if it makes you look really bad. There are a number of things. I just say, Lord, I'm not lowering the standard. I didn't meet up to that, and I confess that, and I agree with you, and I want your will done, and I know it can be done, and I am not lowering my standard because of my own life. I'm going to take it based upon God's word, okay? A little message within a message there, but I think it's very important because it is painful. It is painful if you've had a marriage problem in the past or children now that are adults and maybe really you're struggling with them and things like that. Those are hard. Those just are hard. There's no way of getting around it. But if you'll embrace truth, God will free you. He really will. And he'll give you insight in what to do that you can make a difference. I've seen many a lady see their adult children begin to turn toward the Lord later on because they just walked with God. And it's a wonderful thing. So, all right, having said all of that, we're looking here at loving your family. That's a part of godly living. If you look at our passage here, to verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. We talked about that, that highest of all noble affection. Husbands desperately need that. And that same word, phileo, for children, to love by the power of God their children. Now, each of you ladies know that you have that natural desire to protect, guide, work with children. I mean, that motherhood instinct, I don't even like to use the term instinct, that trait that God has given you is a wonderful thing. And that whole relationship ability that you have is something I, as a man, marvel at. You know, I have a deep love for my children, desire to protect them and all, but it doesn't compare. Boy, you don't mess with the kids when it comes to my wife. You know, I mean, that's just, there's a fierceness about the love of a mother for their children. And I always tell men, the best thing you can do in parenting is take care of mama. Keep mama happy and back up what she's doing, and you'll do pretty well because mother's influence is unbelievable. I have quoted this poem before that is mentioned. Henrietta Mears wrote this. I've quoted it on a number of occasions, especially in a parenting series or on Mother's Day, but I'll read it again. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day, and as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past, the bit of clay was hard at last, the form I gave it still it bore, but I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and touched it gently day by day and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when years were gone. It was a mind I looked upon. The early impress still he bore, and I can change that form no more. That's very true as far as what you can do humanly. But I would add to that poem, what you can do spiritually never ends, and that God can work. So we want to talk about the matter of taking advantage of the time that you have. If you have younger children in your home, there is a tendency because, you know, having little kids is a headache. Okay? I mean, the diapers, the getting up at night, just all kinds of things. Not getting enough sleep, trying to keep things going. But then they get to preschool and you've got food that's spilled off of the high chair, and you've got you have potty training. That's just a wonderful thing. And you've got the discipline and a house that's never clean, and you know, laundry and all that stuff. And there's a tendency of young mothers to say, if I can only get past this. Well, that season that you say, if I can only get past this, is the season of the greatest opportunity. And so what you have to do, and by the way, isn't this the way it is in life? Embrace the legitimate difficulties of the moment, because God's wanting to do something through that. To look for the easy life is to miss what life is about. Life is a challenge. Just yesterday in our Spiritual Awakening Conference to the college, I think it was Brother Ingram, maybe it was Brother Shaver, I can't remember, but one of them just went on about the fact and went through a lot of things. You think it's difficult now. You're trying to get through college. It's a piece of cake. compared to life when you get out there. And he started just naming off the things that you're going to face. He said, you don't need to fear them, but you need to embrace them. And if you're constantly looking for the good life, you are going to be one frustrated person. And so I agree that it's very important, especially young mothers and those of you that are grandmothers here or just ladies that are working with different ladies in our church, encourage one another to take advantage of the time and not wish it away. Every mother here, you older mothers would honestly say, wow, I wish I could recapture some of those early days. They were a survival time. And if you had a number of kids, there wasn't a moment. One moment something was happening, then there's a scream over here, and then, and you think you have everything in great order, you know, and then all of a sudden something else happens, and then that somebody gets sick, you know, and then that just, then the whole house gets sick, and it just goes on. And it's so easy just to think, I got to make it. But there are some principles here that we want to talk about, and it doesn't just go to the younger children. I use that as an example, but you can say that of any age bracket. Let me just say, while I'm thinking about it, what happens is we get to the elementary age bracket, and those kids are so much easier because they're more self-sufficient. Many times they're at school, or they're working on, if you're homeschooling, working on material, and many times it may seem easier than the preschool years. Those are hugely important years. Don't just push off your kids and be thankful that they're more self-sufficient. Very dangerous time, and I think dads especially, but that's a whole nother lecture to talk about there. So making our time count is what we want to talk about for the few minutes that we have left. So there are 10 ways to love your children that our author gives to us, and let me just go through these quickly, but they're very helpful. Number one is to teach them, and I'm very thankful for this very beginning. Well, the best way you can love your children is to give them exactly what they need to know for life. And an awful lot of money goes into things that people, the modern parents, give to their kids in these days, but a lot of times it isn't the basics of the Christian life and the development of that mind. What a precious thing that mind is. And so I would encourage you all the way through, there's nothing like the teaching of a mother at focused one-on-one time. I'm not talking about academics, though you may be part of that. I'm talking about teaching the things of God, character, things that only a mother can teach, so many facets of the truth of God's Word, teaching hymns, memorizing Scripture, love for ministry, love for church, how to have daily devotions, how to pray, and how to even give. Those are kind of important things. How to show love to others. These things have to be taught and caught by determined, purposeful training. And so I am very thankful for that kind of an emphasis here. And it is really good to get a list, and you ought to have a list of what do my children need to know? What needs to be in my life, in their lives? What do I need in each phase to have them understand? For a number of years, and we lost it at COVID time, we haven't reestablished it, I had a mentoring moms class, and so I rotated around preschool, then elementary, then secondary, and so forth, and I would rotate every 4 weeks, and I talked about the list of things that needed to be accomplished. I need to not necessarily do that again, but I do need to get that material back out, because not that we're looking just at a checklist, but you have to have a specific idea of where you want your children to be at age 3, at age 5, after first grade, after third grade. You expect a school to do that, to have a scope and sequence. You don't have to be, you know, an expert on this as a mother, but there ought to be a scope and sequence of what you really believe is important for your children to know, what areas they should be trained in, things that need to be in their life that only you can do. And let me just say, one of the best things to do is try to get into the habit no matter where you are in life, is to wake up with the idea, I've got a tremendous opportunity today to have an impact. If you have younger children, it's not surviving today, it's what steps can I take forward for my children. No matter where your children are, in or out of the home, today is an opportunity for you to have an impact. And remember, the greatest impact we're going to talk about in a few minutes is prayer. We need to understand that life either is going to be seen as the negative pressures or the awesome responsibilities and privileges that we have. And we're talking about the same thing. It's your attitude that makes all the difference. And so it's very important to understand that. So a lot could be said about teaching your children. The Puritans, of course, didn't have completely things right, but the thing about it that they did really understand was the need to train their children to love God, to know truth, to do right, to have character, and as a result, there was generations of solid understanding of God's word in many of those families. And there's a good statement. I'm not going to take time to read it right now, but it's very important. And so we need to teach our children to, we need to love our children enough to sacrifice ourselves. It's going to cost personally for us to take time to teach, our time, our energy, and it's going to take our money. And that's something you and your husband have to talk about. Where do our resources go? Honestly, the things that we provided for our children for their education, I don't know how we made it, to be honest with you. But whenever you put priorities as God does it, it's amazing what he will do to pay for that. And so I am very thankful. This is one thing I knew about. My mother was so good at teaching us. But I'm so thankful my wife really got a hold of that early on. And I mean, she had a schedule with her preschool kids, and she taught. I mean, she had boxes of material, and she just worked at it. And I am so grateful. I sometimes thought it was a little overboard. Now I think she probably, we would agree, she could have done more even, you know. But it did make a difference, and so I do encourage you on that. All right, number two, train them. That goes right along with teach them. Training is actually enforcing what you're teaching them. And it's that good old lecture I could give on teaching them to obey. And I'm telling you, exhortation is not enough. Okay? There has to be enforcement. And there's this thing called discipline, chastening of the Lord, and we're the instrument of chastening. And our modern world has debunked that, but the Bible is very clear. The rod and reproof give wisdom. And on I could quote from Proverbs. And so a child should be taught through appropriate, loving, proper discipline to obey immediately. And you win that battle, I'm telling you, they're going to respond to the Lord. But then it's completely, they learn how to get out of, they'll obey right away but not do everything. And then obey respectfully. And then when they get a little bit older, to obey with a right attitude, with a joyful spirit, learning to do what they do with a full heart. And that takes the Lord to do that. But, I'm telling you, one of the hardest things in the world is discipline. It's never convenient. It just was, I think back, and I remember how many times I was so frustrated because I had to take the time to do it. And I'm on schedule, let's do. And that look of my wife, like, don't let me down here, you know. This is important. And she wasn't pushing me, but she just, that desperation is, we got to deal with this, and that's absolutely true. And I have found with our children, the thing they bring up as much as anything is thank you for the discipline. You know, at the time, they were not thanking me. You know, I was teaching them to thank me, but it was not exactly full-hearted thanksgiving at the moment. But it is very important to teach them to respect, and they need to respect other teachers. That's why you need to have them under other people. Those of you that homeschool, make sure, and our church people here that homeschool are very wise in this, having them in other kinds of programs, because you need that structure. You need them to learn to be under authority and to enforce that. And I tell you what, kids will come home with the most compelling stories of the injustices. I always took the side of the authority because the authority was the authority. And then I could see if maybe some things needed to be communicated, but they needed to know they're never going to get to Dad on that one. And the one thing is, they're teachers, I hired them. I had to be very careful to give no sense that they could get an ear with me, that I could show any influence based upon my position. They were going to obey authority. So that's very important. Number three, talk to God about them. I could speak the rest of the time on this. The matter of prayer for your children, I'm telling you, the battles are won, the wisdom is given, the strength is given, the miraculous intervention of God to work out circumstances. To think you can train children on your own, I think we all know how weak we are. But I'm telling you, when you pray, it's amazing. Out of your prayer closet, you will get direction as to what to do, you will get insight, and God will really help you in regard to what to do. And so, those of you that have older children, do not give up on them. I'm telling you, you get a hold of God. There's many a story of godly mothers who have seen after even years, because of their influence and because of their prayers, God can intervene. But we give up, we lose faith, and I don't blame you. You know the situation so well, you just want to, it hurts too much. But believe me, the most important people to pray for are the ones that it's hard for you to pray for because it hurts so much to pray for them. Did you hear what I said? Okay. That's where the prayer needs to go. And you know what will happen is you'll pray your way through the hurt into genuine confidence and joy and love for that person, that child, or whatever it is, the hard circumstance, and you'll get freedom in your soul, and it'll keep you from bitterness. It really will. It'll give you wisdom. And I tell you what, God answers prayer. I was just thinking this morning as I was going over the folks that I was praying for, especially those I pray for on a daily basis, and I got to thinking how many things God has done over the years to preserve and work in those hard situations. It's an amazing thing. We forget sometimes what a tremendous God we have. So do pray for them. And if there's no other reason, there's many other reasons, but no other reason to pray, ladies, it is for those closest to you. You've got to get a hold of God, and you've got to spend time praising Him and worshiping Him and going over who He is and get a hold of truth in your heart, because no one will pray for your children like you. Your husband may, but there's something about a mother's prayers. And I know that between my grandmother and my mother and, of course, my father, the intervention of God in my life, I know directly came because of my parents' prayers. I'm so thankful for that. And then talk to them about God. Obviously, we all know Deuteronomy 6, that we're to talk about the Lord to our sons and daughters when we're walking, when we're sitting, and so forth. We are to be constantly teaching them. Think about what's the major thing that you talk about in your home, especially with little kids. How much do you talk about God? Not in pious terms, but in genuine. It ought to flow out of your devotions. It ought to flow out of your walk with God. You ought to have purposeful teaching. For your kids, spiritual talk ought not be unique. It ought not be awkward. That ought to be his life. Talk about serving the Lord. And there ought to be a joy there. Talk about your prayer time. And then I'm going to have to quickly read these final ones. Take time to read about mothering. Don't be afraid to read material that might expose needs. That's exactly what we need. Isn't that why we listen to preaching? Why are you here this morning? We want to learn. Lord, I want to grow. Where's my weak point? Okay. Well, it's the same thing. Don't be afraid, but make sure you get the right books. There are horrible Christian books out there on mothering. I mean, almost anti-biblical. Pop psychology, the whole thing. So please check with someone you trust any title that you have. And remember, no book has everything. You have to be careful on that. Take time to read to your children. Again, get good lists. Don't just go to the library and arbitrarily let them get the children's books, because those children's books are so politically activist today, you have to really watch out. But there are lots of good books. I'm sure there have been many since this time, but what's the one I teach out? Is that his name? Yeah. There's a whole handbook on the classics of children's literature. I think it's Teach Out is the name of the author. But I would encourage you to get that. Read, read, read. Give them a love for reading and keep technology totally away. Little minds get hurt through technology. I'm not going to get off on that. But read, read, read. Give them a love for reading. They ought to just, that ought to be a major part of their life. And take time to read to them. Bonding comes, development, and teaching just automatically comes through reading because you're going to be adding to what you are reading if it's good material. Teach them to pray. How do you teach them to pray? Pray with them. Then give them direction. That's what we try to do here for our children. And then just work with them until they see answers to prayer. And I'm telling you, God does miraculous things for little kids. And I've given a number of illustrations about that. But I saw God answer prayers of my little children many times. Obviously, take good care of them. They need to feel secure in your home, that their needs are met. And this especially is something I need to tell dads. Don't buy stuff for your hobbies during their growing up years. Make sure your wife has what is needed to take care of them. And that there is just a good atmosphere, good focus there on the children. And then tell them about Jesus. Well, your first thing is to lead them to Christ. And start right from the little up teaching the truths of salvation. I personally believe you pray for your child and have strong discipline, they can be saved very early in their life. And then model what you're teaching. Model what you're teaching.